All right, ready?
I think I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I was born ready.
Are you ready for the Yeti?
Ready for the Yeti. Ready?
One, two, three. This week on All My Children.
I thought all my children rocked this week.
I thought all my children sucked this week.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Lunatic Oprah and crazy ass Crystal want to see Jesse. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. There is evil coming. I had a vision and it said it in the car. There's evil coming, Jesse. Can you stop it?
Man, Mopo, you forgot your bag of tricks.
First Spike goes deaf, and then Little A goes deaf, dumb, and blind.
Debbie, Darnell, we need you to be a little bit more black.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
The only thing that was exciting was the fact that Susan Lucci's breasts were popping up.
I'm a virgin, Frankie. I have to take it slow, or else I can't do it. I'll really freak out.
Megan McTavish territory. That's all I'm going to say. This is exactly what I warned you about, Chuck Pratt. It's just like Megan McTavish. This is stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid, stupid,
stupid. It's, you know what it is? You know what it is?
What?
Stupid. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending August 27th, 2010.
Girl, just say for the month ending. We haven't done a podcast since July, right?
Fine, don't be mean. That's nasty.
Well, I have to say, I was going to start the podcast off with saying how mad I am about something, but I was thrown by your new microphone.
Why? Because it's so large.
Look, I got to tell you people, I got to tell you people, she got this microphone that is so archaic looking. I live for it because it looks very, I feel like it's 1920s and I feel like I'm on the original Guiding Light.
Miss Pat would appreciate it. It's
like right out of like the old days.
It's thoroughly modern.
So you know what, guys? If you guys don't like the way this sounds, I don't know what to tell you because she blew like $100 on this thing.
I literally did, yeah.
So enjoy it because
Amazon.com.
We can't get no better. And I'm also thrown because it looks like a giant penis.
It really does. The only thing is missing
is veins. It looks like somebody's penis that I know what.
I said the only thing is missing is veins.
But it got to look. This is the head, and then right there's the shaft.
Oh my god!
And it reminds me of this guy Diego that I fooled around with. It's thick.
Stop!
It reminds me of Diego. Hi, Diego. I wonder what would happen to you.
Is Diego a robot?
Huh? No.
Because it's very silver, that's all I'm saying. And it was, you know what the only drawback is?
What?
Diego don't have a mute button.
Yeah, I wish Diego did have a mute button. Diego's one of those guys that is like, yeah, you're hot, but like just have sex with me. Don't talk. Because you talk, you ruin it. And if it was a little bit longer, it's the same thickness, but a little bit longer, it looked like bangs. I fooled around with this. What? I met this boy.
This is the Pine Valley
I know,
Podcast.
But I met this boy from Amsterdam, and he was an au pair, and he was here with his family, and I met him at high, and I thought he was straight. I thought he was going to, like, gay bash me. This was years ago when I was really young and naive.
There's some loud people in Williamsburg.
We're Williamsburg people, so you got a lot of atmospheric background.
That's right.
Like, it's going to be very lively because it's not summer anymore. We don't need the, well, it's still summer, but, you know, it's not, like, humid, so we don't have the AC on. We got the windows open, so there might be a little bit of noise in the background. You know, but we're not in Ashley's neighborhood, so there won't be no gunshots or meth addicts running around.
Probably not.
Anyway, his name was Bang.
Bang.
And I thought he was lying until he showed me his passport, and that's his name, B-A-N-G.
Oh, is he German?
No, he's from Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Oh my God, let me tell you.
An Orpea from Amsterdam.
When I saw his... I was blown away by it. It was amazing.
PG, Poppy, PG.
I I'm not into size, but
shut
you
up.
Know.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
I'm not.
Are.
I really am not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not. It's not the size of the vessel, girls. The motion in the ocean. Remember
all right,
that.
Fine. I want to talk about. We have quite a few things.
We got to talk about that. But the first thing we got to talk about, because I would have started the podcast off with it, but your microphone.
So
hello, Diego. I'm going to call the microphone Diego.
Be nice to it. Pet it.
Hi, Diego. I am not amused with One Life to Live right now.
Out the damn microphone.
I thought you like lowered the input.
I didn't, but look what
okay.
you did.
I am not amused.
Oh, that's perfect.
I'm not Yeti amused with One Life to Live. Let me tell you something. Frank Valenti, you are becoming the twin brother of Julie Crap Brothers.
Absolutely.
With the decisions you are making.
Without a doubt.
Okay?
It's not his fault.
I don't, I don't know what's going on One Life to Live, but supposedly we've been talking. First of all, I got to thank all of you who are in touch with me on the blog and the Facebook page. You know,
there's
I live for you guys.
Right next to my car.
See, we only in the Pine Valley podcast do you get
true.
This kind of stuff.
She's on the phone.
She's
talking,
on the phone talking. And she's the dog she's is taking out her little plastic
That's nice
bag.
Though.
It's nice that she's cleaning. You know it up because a lot of people don't do that.
They forget it in Brooklyn. No way. Not where I live.
In the Bronx, where I live, nobody does. They let them do it in the building now. We got savages
Shut
that are moving
up.
In there.
Are you
oh,
freaking kidding
I'm
me?
So, you don't understand. See my building go downhill is breaking my heart. They're letting savages, people that have been living in the building for like 20 years are moving out of the building because they don't want to deal no more with the craziness that's going on in my
that's
building.
That's horrible.
It's horrible. But anyway, what's more horrible is that Frank Valenti is allowing, I don't know whether it's
Frank
his decision.
Valenti is more horrible than dog dung in your building.
You don't
that's
understand.
Pretty bad.
Frank Valenti, I'm not harding you anymore. You know, I used to want to marry you. Now I just want to have sex with you and be done with you. I'm so upset with you. And if you keep this up, I'm not even going to let you have sex with me. That's how pissed I am at you.
He's got to be really mad.
The soap magazines have been saying, one soap magazine, I think it's Soap Opera Digest, said that Florencia is gone when Taya dies. Now, how true this is, like I told Ashley, I will say this. It has not been confirmed from ABC. Nobody's made a statement saying, but for some reason, Soap Opera Digest said that she is. I don't know where they got the information.
Listen.
What?
Are you going to talk about it or not? Are we going to wait till later?
What?
The news.
Oh. And then this Friday on the Suds, Nelson Bronco Suds.
This is the biggest news ever.
For those of you who live under a rock, the Suds Report, Nelson Bronco, something called the Soap Opera Network. I've never heard of them. I don't know what that is. Do you? Have you ever heard of that? Anyway, I don't know. I never heard of something. I never looked it up. Whatever. But Soap Opera Network claims definitively that Roger Howarth is coming back to One Life to Live. And of course everybody's in an uproar because there are a lot of Trevor St. John fans, and for some people Trevor St. John's the only Todd they know. So everybody's in an uproar. Everybody's like debating this, what should happen, what shouldn't happen. Some people feel that Nelson Bronco feels that Roger Howarth should come back as a Todd lookalike, like somebody who is
no
pretending to look alike.
Way.
I don't think that's it.
That's
I think
insanity.
I'm sorry. The reason me and Nelson don't agree on a lot of things. This seems Nelson doesn't like All My Children. I like All My Children. Nelson thinks Judy Evans is the real Beth Rains and Guiding Light. I think Beth Chamberlain is the real Beth Rains. For me,
you like Jamie Giddens. Nelson Bronco hates Jamie.
What about that?
They hate each other.
Did you? Is that confirmed? Is that
Listen,
what's going on now?
I love me some Jamie Giddens, and I am in deep life.
I know that
Nelson
they were fighting on. I heard they were fighting through
were
Twitter
fighting.
Or something,
Listen,
but I never found out what it was.
Y'all, because I don't want to get the Twitter's eyes. Holy cow! I don't want
to
be on any.
I don't know. I don't know how to. I was trying. Everybody in the blog was sending me links, and every time I tried to go on a link, I couldn't link up. I don't know anything about Twitter, so I couldn't find anything. I want to know what the scandal was. I was like, what? I wanted to know what started it, what was it about, because
it
they were so close.
I know.
Really?
It made me feel bad.
I'm sorry you guys are
it
having
felt
a falling
really bad.
Out.
It felt like people in the family were fighting.
Oh, I'm sure they'll make up.
Yes, I think.
Look, if I could forgive Nelson Bronco for dissing my Beth Chamberlain and All My Children mm-hmm. and my Roger Howarth, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure Jamie could forgive him too. So we don't know.
So.
I don't know what's happening. Anyway. Look, he thinks that Trevor St. John is the best Todd. I disagree. I love me some Trevor St. John. I think he does some great work at times. But I've said this before. I finally figured out why Roger Howarth is Todd to me. And it's because Roger
why?
Howarth... Because Roger Howarth
Sorry, people,
plays
I'm doing
this... He has this way of playing... Even when Todd's at his worst. Even when Todd hit Taya. It's like... You still felt that there was this... He was like this wounded animal. Like this vulnerable animal that... Like, you know when you get an animal trapped in a corner and they lash out? That's the way Roger Howarth's Todd was. You always knew that this was a damaged person. Trevor St. John is very good at playing Todd with the like being an a-hole and with the
but
attitude.
But we don't see the soft side.
Yeah, we don't see the...
Like
we see
with Diego.
We don't... There ain't nothing soft about Diego.
Diego got a smooth side.
Not this Diego
side,
or my
right,
Diego.
Fine. That smooth side.
But, you know, so I think that if the writers write this right, you got at least 4 years of material here. Because you think about the damage that this does. The only father that Jack has ever known has been Trevor St. John's Todd.
That's true.
Roger Howard's Todd vanished when Jack was a little boy, like a toddler. Star knows both of them. Danny just got used to this Todd. Imagine when she finds out that, you know,
that's not the real Todd,
you know. But Trevor St. John will still have the other little boy, the little boy that looks a little doofy with the glasses.
Oh, I love him. He's cute, I know.
He's very, they don't show him anymore, though. I wonder if they're going to recast.
I'd be so mad.
He was cute. He just looked really nerdy and goofy because he was a little cross and he had those glasses and he never spoke.
Fine, I was like, speak.
So that
people,
was.
People, we got a little more One Life to Live to talk about. Bear with us.
You know, this is good, great material. I mean, you think about it. How would you feel that somebody that you spent 5 years thinking this was the person that you, that is your family member, now you find out that he isn't?
I would need to take a shower.
And then think about what this means for Taya. Think about what this means for Taya and Blair. They're in love with two different men.
And now, if
Trevor St. John isn't Todd, then they can play on the chemistry that he has with Marty, because him and Marty did have chemistry.
Who does Blair end up with? That's my question.
Well, maybe she could have the fake Todd and Taya could be with the real Todd, because Taya belongs with Roger Howard.
But you had such a good explanation about Taya, I mean Blair and Todd.
What?
This Blair and this Todd don't work because they bring out the worst in each other, all that stuff.
Yeah, Blair and Todd.
What happens to that?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like if they do this right, if he is coming back and they do this right, this could save One Life to Live. Let me tell you, the material. But again, the writers have to be really, and it scares me because I trust Ron to an extent. I don't trust this Jean Pass Me Over who's coming on. I don't like her. She destroyed As the World Turns. So I don't have any faith in her.
I don't understand. Where is she coming from? And what's she doing?
She's coming on as the co-head writer with Ron C. We talked about this before.
Oh, I forget.
And, you know, she just...
I have two babies.
As the World Turns has, like, 2 more weeks. And it's very sad because, you know what? I wish that I would have stayed watching As the World Turns because I think I really would have loved this, the gay storyline, because, you know, Luke's involved with this doctor who everybody loves. And I have to say, he's hot. I never liked Noah. I thought Noah was
no
a
more
dude
Nuke.
Ball. No, it's Luke and Reed. I don't know what they're called. Lead or Rook or something, but whatever. The thing is that, like, that storyline is really great, the little bit that I've seen, and they have chemistry, and he's hot. I never thought Noah was hot. But everything else about As the World Turns, she destroyed. They destroyed my Megan Paul. Meg went crazy, and she's off the show. Paul's winding up with Emily. I was like, in a way, I'm kind of glad that I left
it, though.
I
like Paul and Emily.
No.
Really? No.
Anyway, I'm going to tune in for, like, the last
week. I love Roger Howard in anything.
Roger
Howard out of anything. He's a beautiful man.
Let me tell you,
man.
Roger Howard is one hot man, and the older he gets, the hotter he gets. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I remember him from Loving, and he was cute. He was all right on Loving, but as he's gotten older, that man has gotten finer. Ooh, ooh,
absolutely. So and he's a family man, sexy.
I've seen him out and about with his family.
You told me,
I was seen
his wife
shopping
is beautiful,
at
right?
Stu Leonard's.
What is that?
That's a grocery store, like a famous.
Where he live? Riverdale.
I don't know if he
like lives.
I don't know if he still lives there, but I saw him years ago in Stu Leonard's with his family. He seems very, very nice, like mm-hmm. very normal, very like he sends off a good energy. He doesn't, you know. I think Roger Howard is one of the most, and I'm not knocking Trevor St. John. I think Trevor St. John can be very good at times, but Roger Howard is good 110% of the time,
without a doubt.
There is no. So I think this could be the biggest thing. Besides that, Kim Zimmer coming back as Echo di Savoy. Ooh, child. I love me some Kim Zimmer. I just want to see Kim Zimmer on screen.
Hmm.
So I'm hanging in there for One Life to Live. I think there's some hope for it. But for me right now, the soap that I'm, like, living for...
Can I say
for,
something
what?
Before you say that? I just had an image of you. I don't know why.
Why?
With your face between Kim Zimmer's tetas and going...
I would so do. I love Kim Zimmer. She's
why
on my,
I have that
she's
image?
On my list in Facebook of women
really?
That I go back to. Yes.
Wow.
I've always... Yeah, and I don't care that she's a little older and she's put on a little... I'm not nice. I think a woman looks good
a
with
little.
Hers. She looks... Don't you start. Don't you start. She is still
I
as
like Kim
sexy,
Zimmer a lot. I think she's great.
She's still as sexy and hot as she was when she was the slut of Springfield.
I have a feeling that Shadow might disagree with you.
Me and Shadow don't have the same taste. He take that whole Randy over my end.
Should we time out? You were going to talk about something, but should we actually talk about All My Children?
Yeah,
we are 17 minutes, I think, into the podcast.
I'm ready to talk about All My Children. You didn't like it this week. I loved it.
I didn't like it. I was bored.
All right. I know why you were bored, and I could see that, because in that sense, I was bored, too.
What sense?
In the sense that, like, let's...
Ryan and Madison?
Let's face fact. The things that we love about All My Children... Wait, can I say something?
Angie?
The things that we love about All My Children that make me want to watch the next day is the Chandler storyline and the Martin storylines. Now, all the other stuff is not as great as those two storylines.
That's the problem I'm having.
But... Again, I look at everything in perspective. I think about the fact of what Greenlee and Ryan and all that mess was on the Chuck Pratt and how much I hated it. So to me, when I compare it to that, this is like a walk in the park. You know what I mean? Like, this is much better material. I can actually watch. Do I agree with it? Do I enjoy it? No. I mean, I told you before, I thought this was a horrendous way to bring back Kendall. Your mother is presumed dead. You don't know where she is. That doesn't bring you back to town. But Greenlee and getting Greenlee and Ryan back together makes you come back.
Why would Lorraine sanction that?
I don't think Lorraine. Remember, she's not the head writer.
I know, fine.
I don't think she has a say in that. But I all I'm saying is, like, see, this is going back to Chuck Prattishness. I don't want to see Kendall. Why are you Kendall? What
hijinks?
Kendall could be such a great character. Why do you give Alicia such crap to play?
Poor lady.
She deserves her own storyline. I mean, I think she's going to have something coming up because supposedly somebody's going to die in All My Children
this
week.
It's going to be Zach.
Has to be Zach.
And that's not even a spoiler. I know
you Zendel people are, that's what they call, right?
Yes.
I know you people are going to hate me, but look, I tell you this. I agree with you to an extent. As far as, even though I don't care for them as a couple, the fact is that this man has put up with so much. I mean, this woman screwed Ryan the minute Greenlee died, and he forgave her for that.
He's now, not going to leave town.
He's
just
not
going to
leave town because
she
wants
Ryan.
To stay in Pine Valley. Yeah. The only way that we could accept Kendall moving on is if she thinks her man's dead. They've been through too much. That's a real relationship.
Absolutely.
When you can forgive cheating, when you can forgive when you can forgive this person for all their freaking craziness and all their weirdness and
didn't
stuff,
Zach
and still love them.
Did save Kendall when she had that little hypodermic stuck in her neck?
Yeah, you love that. You know why you love it? Because as ridiculous it was, Alicia played the hell out of it. She gave an Oscar-worthy performance with that.
Without a doubt.
We love you, Alicia.
Hold on. I'm going to try some automatic level control. Oh, shit. I can't do it. It won't let me do it.
Girl, if you mess this up.
I ain't messing it up. It won't do it, though. So, sorry, people. Right. We might blow you out a couple times. We're going to try not to.
Well, I don't think WMBD still listens to us anymore.
No, but he ain't the only one complaining.
There's some girl that said she's gonna stop watching.
She's gonna stop listening.
She's gonna stop listening.
Listen, I don't wanna hurt anybody's ears. It's true. I don't mind a little constructive criticism.
You gotta understand though, sometimes it's beyond our control. It's not what
we're
doing
it
on purpose.
We're Puerto Rican and we get excited and we got crappy equipment.
I know,
and we're doing this for free.
I know. Yeah.
You know,
we're working with low budget.
Thank you.
We're like
sitting in a car, people.
It's like we might as well be working for Disney.
Oh, shit.
Might as well be working
for
ABC.
Might as well be working for All My Children. It's true. All right, so fine. So let's piece this together. All right, let's talk about the individual storylines. And I have to tell you the truth.
What?
If it's a day that Damon is on and that Annie and JR and Scott are on, I'm happy too.
Episode is done, that's an orgasm episode for
me. When it's one of them, I'm like, and I kind of look forward to those parts. But when it's neither,
it kind of drags. Not in a bad way, but it's just like they need to make the other storylines as powerful as they're making these storylines. And I think the Angie storyline.
Blind Angie.
Debbie Morgan is playing the
hell
out of it.
Pretty
it's
Elizabeth.
It's a little bit
would say.
Again. It's a little bit done. It's a little bit predictable. As somebody in the blog, I have to give Nelson props. I think Nelson mentioned it. He's basically writing the same storyline he wrote for Kim Zimmer.
Yeah, Nelson's not happy about it.
I have to agree. Nelson's right. It is the same exact storyline, except Kim Zimmer was having cancer. Instead of like this Mexican boy blind disease. Is that a real disease what she has?
I don't know. Will someone look it up, really? Please? I don't know.
I mean, I just like I call it the Mexican blind boy disease because I don't. Like, where did Angie get the disease from? Some Mexican boy they brought in. That's horrible.
It's horrible.
They're going to make it seem like all Latins get diseases.
Well, and the other part of it is this whole evil. I'm so, so sick of evil, Dr. David. Where do you see this going?
They were asking me on Facebook.
Where? It's ridiculous.
It's going back to being One Note David.
It's going back to being One Note David. There was one glimmer of hope in the scene with him and Greenlee where she said, you know.
Yeah, but.
He's like, take the high road. And she's like, yeah, take the high road. It's your opportunity, David, to take the high road.
Yeah, they need to move these characters forward. They need to.
And David, like, isn't
Ryan
to, yeah.
Didn't Ryan learn anything from like what he put Annie through? It's like, why are you fooling around with Madison when you know you're still in love with Greenlee?
I'm so over Ryan. Ryan, you're an ass.
I was creeped out watching
him make love to Madison.
I have to say, and you know, I don't like Cameron Mathis because, you know that
it was soft core porn a little bit, right? Right? Am I right?
One of our listeners, we were on Facebook. I don't want to say his name because I don't know if he'll get upset. But we were like I am each other on Facebook.
Sexy.
And he told me, no, not like that.
I'm just saying, it sounds sexy.
He told me that he felt that that Cameron Matheson looked like Frankenstein. And I said, hey, he does. That's he looks like, good. Do you remember that cartoon, Frankenstein Jr., that cartoon? that's what Cameron Matheson reminds me of.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein Jr.
Get it? Frying?
Like, right. Wait, say it?
Ryan Kinstein.
I've never found Cameron Matheson cute. The only thing that Cameron Matheson has that's nice is his ass. He has a great ass. That is a phenomenal ass.
That he wears thongs.
Yeah,
too.
I don't like the thongs.
The thong is not nice.
His ass is really great. I can give him props for
no,
that.
No, listen, this is my problem with it. First of all, that Nivea Gold lotion. He's still using that Nivea Gold lotion. I saw some sparkles.
I gotta say, I thought him and Madison's scenes were hot.
Really thought they had chemistry?
I didn't say they had chemistry. I just said they look nice. Nice going at it. That's
no,
all.
I'm gonna tell you two things. I'm so sick of the first time making love to Ryan. Always has to be tender and nice and sweet. First of all, I want one time where he can't get it up. That's what I want. I want one time where he can't get it up, and that he's gonna be the answer to this girl's dreams, and she's disappointed. Or conversely, number two, I want something where he's like manhandling the lady, or she's manhandling him. I want something sexy, something like, you know, like that. Oh, I don't want no God. Like picking. Stop it. He ain't that good looking. I want something. He's not that good looking.
And I think he's a mo.
I want something sexy, and I'm so sick of this wounded innocent act that all the women with Ryan. They're all wounded, all innocent. What are you doing?
He's cute.
Oh, come on now. The windows
are
open.
I'm listening to you. I can look and listen. I can do two things at the same time.
Are you people with me? Because
I'm not Dominican.
Oh, my God. There goes the Dominican audience. Sorry, Dominicans. Wasn't me. It was Jordan. But seriously, I'm so sick of the wounded, innocent, you know, thing. What?
I cracked myself up.
You did.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just tired of it. I've said it a million times. I still don't buy Madison. This is Madison. I'm going to imitate Madison for you. Madison's talking to Greenlee this week, and they're like connecting or like whatever. And what does Greenlee say? She says, I hear that you were in a troubled marriage. You had a difficult marriage and your husband died. Madison's like, yeah, he died. And it was because he abused me. And he just made fun of me every day. And I just couldn't take it. Or something. I don't even remember exactly what she said. But it was like...
And I killed him.
Exactly.
And Greenlee's
It was something... It wasn't even like that. It was more like... Yeah, it was a great marriage if you call someone calling you, you know, names every day and kicking you and beating you and emotionally terrorizing you. Sure, it was a great marriage. Or something. Like, she's always the victim. I'm so sick of it. And when she made love to Ryan, she was Miss Victim. She was biting her lip. She was scared. She was, oh. And then afterwards, she's like, that was all kinds of great. And I was like, oh, I want to throw up. Yeah, I needed to take a shower. I needed to brush my teeth.
The problem with Madison is that Stephanie is a great actress. It could have been a great character. But the character is still haunted by what she's done in the past. And it's, for me, it's just...
Because you were so talking perfect. About that. You were talking about so that.
You, no, but you said it too. You said we were able to. They were able to redeem Annie in our eyes. We knew why she killed. You said
freaking
this to me on the
brilliant.
Phone, and I'm like, exactly. And they have not been able to do that with Madison.
They can't do it.
I'm surprised they're still keeping her in the. They must love the actress, which I love Stephanie. She was on My Guiding Light, And you know what I came across?
You know what the problem is?
You know what my thought was the other day? You know how I'm constantly thinking about what I would do if I was running all my children?
He's so brilliant. And if he was not running on, if he was running all my children, it would be the best show on television.
You know, this is what I would do.
What?
I would hire Tom Pelfrey. You know who Tom Pelfrey is? The guy from Guiding Light that you love. You have a son.
Tom Pelfrey.
I would hire Tom Pelfrey, get this, as Jamie Martin, Tad's son.
I'm going to kill you.
Damon's brother.
And you ruined me. You're ruining me.
Then get him involved with Madison, because the two of them were star-crossed lovers on Guiding Light. That would bring Guiding Light fan. Oh, wow.
He's cute. But he's straight. Yeah. He got a girl.
I don't care if he's...
Time out, though.
He's still cute.
This is the thing.
And then put him with Madison.
You're right. You're brilliant.
I would live for
you
that.
You are freaking brilliant. You need to make sure the powers that be know this, because...
But think about it. Wouldn't Tom Pelfrey be great as Jamie Martin?
God.
Could you imagine the chemistry between him, Michael Knight, and Damon?
God. Oh, my.
And the reason...
Time
out,
though. The only thing that would be that they need to do, though, this is the problem. When they try to redeem these characters, what they didn't make a mistake with Annie, which is brilliant, they didn't make her too good. They brought her back to a real place, but she still got them damn warts.
Yeah.
You know, same thing I would say with Kendall and Greenlee sometimes. Not so much anymore. She's getting back to goody-goody Greenlee. We hate goody-goody Greenlee. We need Greenlee with a little edge. Madison needed to keep her edge because that keeps her believable.
Mm-hmm.
This is a woman that bludgeoned her husband with a smile on her face. Okay? So she needs a little edge. She needs something. She needs a jealous streak. She needs, like, Blair. Blair's a perfectly written character. Perfectly Blair from One Life to Live. She is warts and all brilliant. She can break your heart when she's having a scene where she's comforting a crying, sobbing Taya, or she can absolutely blow your mind when she's battling Taya.
Right.
You know. You know what I'm saying? Don't you think Madison needs warts?
Yeah. It's I don't.
Preferably
I don't
genital
think,
warts.
I don't think,
that would be a good storyline. She
think,
gave Ryan genital warts.
I don't think you're so stupid. Or maybe Ryan gave it to her.
Maybe Ryan gave it to her.
And then every woman in my valley is going to have to go get checked. Listen, the problem is there's still not a character there. They don't know the character. They don't know who she is. I you know, it's very bizarre. You're getting hot.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to admit. It's getting humid out.
It's getting
warm. Goodbye, Williamsburg. Atmosphere in the background. Hello, AC.
Hello, AC.
But it got hot. That's really weird. It must be getting hot outside.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Look, the thing is, and the other thing I was thinking of, too, the reason that I thought of Tom Pelfrey as Jamie Martin was because Damon did something...
Because you're brilliant.
Damon did something this week that reminded me of Tom Pelfrey. I think Damon... Now, you're attracted to him. I have to say, I'm not attracted by him. He's a good-looking guy. Doesn't do it for me. But I love watching him.
I'm attracted to him because he's a great actor.
He is such a great actor. He makes such great... His choices are never boring. They're always offbeat and interesting. And he has a character. Like, and he did something that reminded me of Tom Pelfrey. And then I thought, my God, Tom Pelfrey would be so great. It'd be the first time that Jamie Martin would have a personality. Him opposite Michael Knight. And see, this is the problem. These two guys as brothers
would
be
awesome. They're
similar
actors in that
yes,
way.
They would play so well off each other. I mean, and this is the problem that I have with The One Life to Live, the Ford brothers. They're both so cookie-cutter models.
We gotta save it. We gotta save that. I'm sorry. We gotta talk. We gotta finish up about All My Children.
I'm just comparing
you're
that.
You're right.
So I'm
and
not
we're
gonna,
gonna
get
talk
it.
About
I'm just saying.
And we are gonna talk
I'm
about
just gonna
that.
Say, like, because now everybody's talking about the new guy, who I have to say, I didn't think he was that bad on Friday.
He wasn't that good on Friday.
Yeah, but he got a little bit better on Friday.
He got a little bit cartoon character.
But wait, listen.
What?
I thought he was a lot better when he was working opposite Damon.
Yes, but that's the thing. When you have a good actor in the room,
yeah,
you know, if he's working with Colby, he's not so good.
You still don't like her. I like her. I mean,
I
she is
good
as good. She is good as the racist homophobe. Yeah, she was.
Yeah, no.
They said she was a racist and homophobe. She's not as good as her, but honey, she's better than Brianna Mongrief.
Yes, but that's
Ooh,
not
I
a very
saw at
high.
Starbucks.
That's not a very high bar.
She asked me if I wanted a tall or.
I believe you. Grande, how about this? Grande or venti?
And I was like, five head.
Oh, I hope she doesn't listen.
Oh, girl, you know she went back home to like Alabama, wherever
oh,
she's from.
Oh no, she didn't.
Yeah, she did.
I don't wish that girl any harm.
I don't wish her any harm.
She
should not be on TV screen in front of a movie camera or on stage.
Nowhere near it.
She should be barefoot and pregnant.
Oh, don't
Actually,
that.
No, you know what? You shouldn't, because you should not pass that forehead on to anybody.
I'm gonna cut your mic off. I'm gonna cut the Yeti off in a second.
Oh my god, you have been so mean to other people. Let me be mean to her.
I'm an angel. I'm all a right? perfect angel.
I can't help it. I miss going Brianna Mongrief.
I know, I do miss that
so
too.
So every time
I created Rhapsody in Red.
Yeah, but at least Sabine was fun.
Sabine Singh. What is she doing now? She was on One Night Stand a while back. That's right. That was
she played an anorexic hooker.
That was beneath her.
She looks very Oh, you know what? I think I'm gymorexic.
You're gymorexic?
I was reading indeed the new Details magazine with Zac Efron on the cover.
He's gymorexic?
No, there was an article about gymorexia. And I think I have that.
Isn't it manorexia?
No, it's gymorexia. It's people that feel like they have to always go to the gym every day, because if they miss a day, they feel like they're going to lose everything they've been working
to. Do you go every day?
Almost, yeah. And then I missed yesterday, and that's the way I felt today. I felt so horrible when I went today.
Oh, you got it.
I was like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have met yesterday. I think I have gymorexia.
You got to work on that. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, seriously. But because anyway, you look beautiful. You have the perfect body. Trust me, people.
It's not perfect, but it's nice.
Oh, my God. Anyway. Nice. All right. So, we talked about, but listen. And then the other thing was, no, we talked about making love. We talked about, oh, yeah. And then Friday's Up ending was Ryan and freaking Greenlee and her saying, I don't really care about you. I don't like you anymore. I just, you know, if I was in love with you, I'd show you. I'd do something about it.
Yeah,
and he gives her this look that he gives every single woman on the show. There is no specialness between him and Greenlee. That's the problem.
And let me ask
you
this.
Don't you think, am I right?
No, you're right. You're right. I got to tell you this, though.
What?
I agree with something Shadow said on the blog. I think it was Shadow.
What's the miracle music? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I agree that as much as I'm enjoying my children, I've been having this feeling like something's missing. And you know what's missing? Alaluji. This Tony Geary going away every like for 3 months a year, that's not going to work for me.
I agree with you.
The show suffers when she's not there. I'm sorry, people. Erica Kane, Susan Lucci is all my children.
Yeah, but then you get...
With a lack of so many veterans, you need her there.
That gets me to my other problem with the show. Fat Caleb. Fat Caleb! He looks like a plucked chicken with the shaved face.
Stop calling him fat. I don't like
that.
He's
fat Caleb. He's just plucked chicken.
You know how I feel about the word, that word.
He looks swollen. He does. He plucked his face.
Pleasant, voluptuous.
Fine. He's voluptuous in the ass.
I think Bobby Eakes looks amazing with her hair long.
Yeah, she does.
Bobby, keep the hair long, girl. It took 20 years off you. Honestly,
yeah,
you look so. The other day, on I think the episode where she invited Kayla for dinner and Tad was like telling her like, oh, is this a date? That was such a cute scene.
Yes.
Michael Knight's so great. She looked so young, so young. I was like, oh my god, Bobby Eakes, keep that hair long, girl. It's so flattering on
what
you.
What are they gonna do with Bobby Eakes?
I really see, that's the thing, there's so many characters that I don't feel like they know what to do with them.
They don't,
you know,
they
what
don't.
They need to do, I'll tell you what they need to do. She needs to move her ass out. If you have your own business, you can get your own apartment. You're a grown woman.
Yeah.
You do not need to be living in Tad's. That's so I
have to say, I still miss the days of her and Adam.
That
was a very magical pairing.
That was a very good pairing. Even through bad writing, they were a good pairing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They
wouldn't have gotten bad if the writership hadn't changed. That's when they went bad.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's still a lot of characters that are very floating in limbo that I don't think they know what to do with.
Are they going to just put Liza and David together? Is that what's going on?
It seems like they're going that way. I don't like that, but whatever. I will say this. I love that Mayor Blanco shot Liza down. Who is Liza to be applying for that kind of job?
Your Mayor Blanco.
Who's Liza to be applying for that job?
Who the hell is Mayor Blanco to be Mayor Blanco?
Okay, first of
she's
all,
Mayor
that's
White.
My Wanda de Jesus.
Fine.
And they can no longer make her regular because she's going to be on Law & Order LA, which I'm very upset about. But
why
anyway.
Is there Law & Order LA when they canceled Law & Order here?
Because it's a spinoff. Anyway.
Estúpido, Mayor Blanco.
I thought it was ridiculous that Liza was
applying
for the job.
Blanco.
I'm gonna hit you. You keep leave my wand alone.
I think
anyway,
she's
fabulous actress, and I think her character is great.
I don't think
and
that,
anybody
I don't,
anybody who
I
can
think
get
the character's thin.
Anybody,
I think she's potentially fantastic, but I think the character is thin.
Anybody who steals a scene with one scene, who steals the scene from like people like that, she's fabulous.
Fine.
She's amazing.
I'm trying to appreciate.
But wait, her. I thought it was great that she knocked Liza down. Because that, Liza was crazy. She's like, I've had like many wins. What have you won since you came to town? We haven't seen you do it being a lawyer.
It's a moment. It's a moment. It was stupid. And it ain't much of a moment to boot. Who else had moments?
I will say this.
What?
Ash is hot. I'm sorry.
Fine. He's hot.
He may not be the best so act in the world, but I would
What's
do
the
that
deal
boy.
With this Asher?
I would do the. Well,
he's out to con. He's
no,
a con
is
man.
Is he the two things? Some people were saying they think that he might be Adam's Latin son, which I'm gonna shoot that down. It could be.
I wish he was the brother of the Mexican, the blind Mexican boy. That's what I wish.
He don't look Latin, but neither do those Ford brothers. So yeah, exactly. Neither do those Ford brothers, except for the younger one, but we'll get to that.
Neither does the actual Latin on the show, Jessica.
Yes, she does. No, she looks Puerto Rican.
Listen, Jessica Lechia, I love you, and I hope you come on our show.
Yeah, I haven't emailed that woman back. This woman emailed us, and we got to do that, Ashley.
I don't know how to do it. I haven't had Shadow on the show because I don't know how to do it.
Get in touch with Jamie and figure it out.
I have to ask Jamie from DaytimeConfidential.com.
We have the opportunity. Somebody emailed us, if you listen to our podcast, I'll email you anyway. But yes, of course, as soon as we figure out how to do it, we would love to have her on our podcast.
Do you know that Jamie and Luke have never, ever met each other in person? They just
really?
Podcast them across the miles, yes.
So Jamie doesn't know what Luke looks either?
I'm sure they know what each other looks like, but they don't.
I picture Luke looking like hot Josh Zuckerman. He sounds like Josh Zuckerman.
You
love
like
Josh
Luke.
Zuckerman.
You have a little crush on him.
Well, because I like Luke's voice. I don't know what he looks like, though. But I'm imagining voice. In my head that he looks like Josh, like Wendy Williams. In my head, he looks like Josh Zuckerman.
Well, that's fine. I'm sure he does. He's lovely. So,
anyway, we digress. So they think that Asher could be that, or they think Asher, and I'm leaning more
what?
Towards, wait, I'm leaning more to Asher being related to Caleb Cooney.
Why would Asher be related to a character that's off the canvas?
Huh?
I'm sick of this off the canvas relationships. I'm sick of Hillary being off canvas. Adam's off
Caleb's
canvas.
Caleb's not off canvas.
Palmer's off canvas.
Caleb's not off
canvas. I'm saying if he was Adam's Latin son.
No, he was Adam. Yeah, it made no sense. Plus they wouldn't be able to do a triangle because he'd be Kobe's half-brother, and I think that's where they're going. I think that he's going to be a Cooney.
Right.
Because if you don't remember, there was a little exchange when he was grilling Damon about the families, and he kept asking, like, and he goes, oh, so you're related to the Cooneys? So it was like, I think
why
he's trying to figure
out... Why do we need him? Seriously.
Who, Asher?
Yeah.
Because they need some... you need a triangle between him and Damon. Otherwise, him and Damon and her have nothing to do. They got a triangle. Soap operas are about triangles, people. They are. This is a perfect segue into talking about our favorite storyline and our last storyline.
Sorry, Asher, who, what?
The Annie, J.R. Scott. Obviously, for those of you who are no longer watching, the big thing happened this week. So much happened in that storyline. Marissa realized that her and J.R. are over. J.R. realized it finally. And he went to try to go stop Annie and Scott's wedding. Now, there's been a big debate on our blog about this, on Facebook about this. I'm going to tell you people right now, I love you youngins, but you guys all have attention deficit disorder. I'm sorry. You guys want JR and Annie together so quickly, and then what happens once you get them together? Nothing. It's over. This is a soap opera, people. It's about the journey. I've said this before. A good soap opera, if they write it well... And they can keep your interest, and it goes on for two. We waited almost two and a half years for Jenny and Greg to get together. Do you know how long? Do you know how long it took?
Time out.
Yes,
it was not.
Yes, don't you remember everything they went through? Don't you remember everything they went through?
I had that much patience when I was little.
Girl, let me tell you, I lived for Jenny and Greg. I'm sorry, I got to tell you, my favorite couple. Other than Tara and Phil, is Jenny and Greg.
Those
are my two top favorites.
I would say Jenny and Greg and then Angie and Jesse, young Angie and Jesse.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah, you got to count. All right, so my three top favorites are Tara and Tara. But that's what All My Children was known for, the teens, the young. They were the first soap opera to really give the young teenage love story.
But here's the thing. They have really brilliant villains. What's her name? Liza was a freaking brilliant villain. And what was her name? Not Cecily, but the other one. One before Cecily. The one that came between, that was in love with Tad. And her mother.
Oh, Dottie. Oh, my God.
Great, right? Freaking great. So,
Tasia
freaking
Valenza's
awesome.
Lips.
No, amazing. She was so beautiful, but so insecure. It was a freaking brilliant,
see,
right?
But this is why, and this is, we disagree on this. This is why I'm loving Marissa right now. Because Marissa finally has...
Marissa don't got no lips. Marissa don't got no ass. She got no titties. She got a skinny head.
No, she don't have all that. But you know what she is? She finally has some depth in her character. She has a character now. I'm loving the fact that this woman is such a hot mess. And we got to give props to Elizabeth because Elizabeth named her, what was it? Hot Messa?
No. Oh, she's brilliant.
Is that it? Was that it?
I think it's Hot Messa, yeah.
Yeah, Hot Messa. I live with that. I live with that. You know why? Because this makes the character interesting. She is so insecure in a way that is so sad and tragically pathetic. Yeah, she's pathetic. But you can relate to that as a person because we've all had moments like that.
Here's
my
problem.
She's so insecure. What?
I will never care about Marissa because I don't find the actress compelling.
Okay, I didn't
That's
say that. Look,
it.
I didn't say that you if have to care about her.
If it was a different actress playing the role, I okay. might care. Right, that's well, my problem.
Can I say something?
No.
You don't have to care. All you got to do is realize that now there's something there. And I'm enjoying her. The scenes with her and JR were so well written. When she... Because the thing was, you people, she stopped going back to JR because of the fact that she slept with Scott because she felt so guilty. And those scenes when JR was pouring his heart out to her and he wanted her to, like, try again, and she finally confessed to him the truth, those scenes were good. Her acting was good. I believed them. I believed her tears. And I'm sorry, Jacob Young gave one of the best performances of his career that day.
He was masturbating.
He was. No, he wasn't.
He was not playing opposite anything.
He was brilliant. I disagree with you. I thought he was brilliant in those scenes.
No, he was brilliant. I'm saying he wasn't. It wasn't like tennis where he was playing opposite a master player.
It was just brilliant. And when she told him and she said that line, she goes, I knew it was over after you and Annie. It was different. And like, those scenes were so real because people, that's what really happened.
I appreciate the reality of the dialogue.
I loved it.
I love that they're finally writing her as a three-dimensional woman, person, everything. Mm-hmm. All of that is perfect. Okay. What I'm saying is she bores me as an actress to tears. And I'm sorry, lady. You seem like a nice lady and a very nice actress, but I see the words on the page
and
as you
Canadian.
Are saying them. You're a Canuck. I love me some Canucks.
You gotta get to Toronto somehow.
Listen to me, Jordan. Tell me if you feel this way. I see the words on the page, and I know exactly how she's going to say them. And that's why I am fascinated by Damon. You look at any dialogue on a page.
No, Damon makes some great
and
choices.
He will do something you never expect with that dialogue. Yeah, and it's never stupid
way.
Or dumb or
I really respect him for that.
Right? And that's Michael Knight. And that's Michael Knight all the time. When he says a line, sometimes he says these lines with, I just am blown away and I'm drawn to my television. Same thing with Miss Annie, Miss Melissa Claire Egan.
Yeah, but this is my problem with Kayla.
That's exactly what you're saying.
He's playing it all.
Your
he's
guy from Guiding Light,
Robert Newman, would have been
magnificent.
So, oh my God.
Magnificent. Same quality.
And let me tell you something.
They're like maestros.
He would have had
They're
some,
like master
he
carvers.
He would have had some chemistry with Bobby Eakes and Susan Lucci.
Hell yeah.
Oh, Robert
that's
Newman.
That's the only point I'm trying to make. Do you sort of understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So that's it. That's it in a nutshell.
But again, I'm looking at the glass as being half full. I look at where the character was. I look at where the actress was. At least now I can watch her and not, like, throw up or throw something at the TV. That's the way I look at it. So I enjoyed the scenes. And then, of course, the big thing was that once JR realized that it was over, he went to go stop Annie and Scott from getting married. Now, all of you were very upset that Annie made the choices she made, but I gotta tell you again.
Not
everybody, but a lot of people. And I thought it was brilliant writing. You know why, people? And I'm gonna tell you this because we haven't discussed this because we've been gone for so long. For those of you who, we were talking about this on the blog and on Facebook about the fact that Marissa and Scott had sex. I thought it was a brilliant choice on the writer's
part. Not if she gets pregnant. I'm going to throw up.
No, I think that's the next great thing if they do that. But anyway, let me finish my thought.
Yes, please.
The reason that I thought it was such a brilliant choice is because before that, we had a triangle going on where it was Annie torn between JR and Scott. Now, after what Scott did, there's no doubt in my mind did JR and Annie belong together? The writers made a great choice because they needed to give Scott, they needed to give a reason why JR and Annie need to be a super couple. And the reason is that they do bring out the best in each other. They do make each other want to be better people.
Are you saying JR and Annie?
JR and Annie. I think Annie, wait, let me finish. I think right now, because of everything, let me finish my thought. Right now, Annie thinks that it's Scott that wants to make her be a better person. It's not Scott, though. You know why? Because when push came to shove, and the first moment that Scott was put to the test, he thought the worst of Annie, and that's why he slept with Marissa. See, as much as JR... Listen, as much as
I may change my mind.
As much as JR has been fighting the fact that he feels what he feels for Annie, the fact that he's been trying to get back with Marissa, but in his heart, he's not once doubted or cheated on Annie in his heart since they've been together, because that's the woman that he wants to be with. He's been fighting it every inch of the way, but you know what? She makes him a better man.
That is sounding very astute.
And now he believes in her, and he can make her be a better woman. She doesn't need Scott, because the thing is, Scott didn't believe in you. When push came to shove, he thought the worst of you, girl.
I'm going to say something.
She needs to go with JR.
She said to Scott, first of all, Scott, I was cracking up because JR goes to see Annie. And he doesn't really tell her what happened. He's sort of dancing around it, but he's basically saying, you know, come with me. Hi, lady. She's laughing at us. She's basically saying, come with me. He's basically saying to her, come with me.
Lesbians. Blah, blah, blah. Did you see that?
Yeah, she was waving to me and everything. She liked me.
They grabbed each other's asses and.
Nice! Nice! So Annie and JR are there, and JR at her wedding, she was cute. She was picking flowers for Emma. New Emma!
I don't like new Emma.
What happened to old Emma?
I read about that.
Little ageism, wouldn't you say? She's getting younger.
And she's getting more bobo. I don't like her.
Yeah, really?
I mean, the other one was a very child actor, I gotta admit.
Yeah, she was. She cried real tears.
I don't like this one.
All right. So she was picking flowers. So JR runs up to her and blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know, don't be with Scott. Be with me. We love each other. Blah, blah, blah. So she's like, where is this coming from? Blah, blah, blah.
She was so good.
She was great, right? And she was so legitimately confused. And like, she's crying. She's like, this is my wedding day. Like, I've got everything figured out. What are you doing? So Scott comes. And I was cracking up because all of a sudden the camera pans over to Scott and JR's like, I have something to tell you about Scott. And Scott's like, you shouldn't hear it from me, Annie. You shouldn't hear it from JR, Annie. You've got to hear it from me. I slept with somebody else. And it was like, so like, it reminded me of like the 40s movies. There was no subtlety.
He's very Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, sometimes. You know what I mean? It was like, put it all out there. And Annie was so freaking brilliant. And she looked at him, she pulled him aside, and she said, you don't understand. I need you to make me be good, to keep me good.
You're forgetting her first reaction, when she went to go hit him.
Yeah, she did.
She's like, I love that. Yeah, I love that moment. That was such a great moment.
I thought it was a little bit of a test because a little bit hypocritical, no? I mean, come on now.
No. No, she hasn't slept with anybody. She hasn't slept with JR since her and Scott got together.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that. I will give you that. But what I'm saying is that her response to him, when she looked at him and she had like tears and she was freaking pleading for her life at that point. That's how I took it. I'm going to cry because I thought it was that powerful. She was pleading for her life and saying to him, I need you to keep me good. I need you to keep me straight. And he wavered. And you're right about that. I will give you that, Papi. I will absolutely give you that. But here's the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is that for the first time, I did doubt JR because he wasn't offering her the life together, the picket fence and the security and all that stuff. They're still in this very passionate stage of romance where anything can go off kilter. You're walking this balancing act. You're on the high wire. And any slight move and you're crashing down. And that's really all he has to give her right now.
No, and that's why...
And that's why I'm confused. I'm confused. And that's the brilliance of the writing. You're so smart.
But that's good soap opera. That's good storytelling.
But it does just make me doubt if JR made me think of my high school boyfriend. No. We had the most passionate, crazy love. But we were never going to be good together. We were always going to freaking consume each other and destroy each other.
A good soap opera couple.
But you want to hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So how do you know that JR is going to be the solid one for her? I don't know that he's going to be the solid one. I don't know this yet.
I do know this. You know how I know
but
this?
But why did he offer her the diamond ring? Why did he offer her the happy ever after?
It's not that simple. He still married a Marissa, girl. He's still married to Marissa.
That's my point. He's got a lot of shit under there.
Yeah, he's got a lot of shit. But you know what? Part of being in a relationship and being a couple is working through that shit. Annie needs to have a leap of faith and believe in him. And she's not ready yet to do that. So she's going for what she thinks is safe. She's going for what she thinks is going to make us happy.
Good.
This is good soap
just
opera.
Just when I think I haven't figured out Jordan Hudson opera. Comes. This is good.
Let me tell you something. One of my favorite soap couples was Cruz and Nina on Santa Barbara.
I
and
love
why?
Them. Ooh, I love
because
them.
Their relationship was just like this. It was complicated. It was about two people that were so headstrong and so afraid of having faith in the other. There was this passion and this intensity
right,
between them.
Right.
And for years they didn't
get
together.
Because they were so afraid of getting hurt.
They were for years back and forth, back and forth. Him her
so
marrying
hot.
That
sexy,
crazy
right?
psycho. Him marrying Zatanna at one point because you know
Zatanna,
what?
Zatanna, that's a great
name. You were
name.
Running away from the person because this is the way, and I'm going to say this. People in general, rather than be with somebody that gets
closer
under your
skin. To the Yeti.
Rather than be with somebody that gets under your skin and makes you feel alive, that's too scary
it's
for
too
people.
Too scary a place.
So what
I
they
agree.
Do. They go for what makes them feel safe and
the
comfortable.
Safe choice.
Gwen Stefani, no doubt, has a great song called Magic in the Makeup. And I can't remember the lyrics per se because I'm going to butcher it. But it says something, the lyrics say something like, if you excite me, then I'll run. No, she goes, if you bore me, I'll stay. But if you excite me, then I'll run away or something to that effect. And it's so true about people.
She's a master poet.
Because you, girl, I just said I butchered the damn thing.
Hey
it was
now,
not,
now, hey now,
not
now,
that,
hey.
It was not that simplistic. It was not that simplistic. It was more deeper than what I'm saying. But anyway, I digress. I'm just saying that for me right now, this has to be one of the best storylines on any soap opera right now.
I agree.
Because it's so I mean, agree. It is like watching, like a period piece. I feel like I'm in a Jane Austen novel.
Oh, I
the
love
looks
it.
That JR and Annie give each other.
It
that,
looked Jane Austen
scene,
in that wedding,
that
right?
That scene where he grabbed her and he stopped her from walking in the room. He goes, I just want to wish the bride well. And he went and kissed her. How intense and hot was that scene? People, this is. They need to write this and milk this for all it's worth. This storyline could keep going for a long time, taking twists and turns. I'm riveted by this storyline.
Jordan's on board.
I'm on board, girl. I am so on board with this. This is now we.
I'm
we,
simply bored with we, the rest of it.
We've talked all about all my children. I'm gonna say something really quick about General Hospital because you don't really watch it. But I gotta say this.
I have a question. What? Do Randy and Frankie have any kind of storyline
no,
whatsoever? Okay.
But people have been thinking that they should need to put Frankie with Madison. I agree. I would like Frankie with Madison. I think that somebody
she
had a somebody on
out.
Our blog. Wait,
all
somebody
the
on our
blog. All the spackle.
Listen,
she
somebody
is
on
spackle.
Our blog. Somebody on our blog said Randy should like get a modeling contract in Europe and move away. I think that's a great storyline.
That's compelling.
That's very compelling.
That is
compelling.
The most compelling drama.
That would be the most compelling storyline. I would love that. And then I like another storyline.
What?
Somebody mentioned. Wouldn't it be interesting if we found out that Natalia goes both ways? And she got it on with Binks.
She's got it.
Not only, listen, not only would we have a lesbian storyline, but we'd have a Jungle Fever interracial lesbian storyline. Work! That'd be fabulous.
Listen, I can't get excited about new Binks. I'm sorry.
I like new Binks.
That's the problem. Just like Marissa, you like her. But she doesn't surprise you. She doesn't do anything different. She's perfectly, listen, people, perfectly fine actress and beautiful girl, actually. I think she's very attractive. I think she looks exactly how Bianca should probably look if Eden's not playing her. But not exciting. Not exciting. I'm sorry. She's not a maestro. She's just saying everything the way she...
I know, but they need to put some new characters on.
You know, but it's coming back to Saint Bianca. I'm you know, that's what I liked about Saint Bianca was that she wasn't so saintly. She had a little edge to her at times, Eden Regal. All right,
well,
fine. You talk
up.
About One Life to Live because I don't know nothing about it.
All right, well, General Hospital.
I haven't watched.
I'm going to say what I have to say about General Hospital.
Fine.
Talk about...
5 minutes.
Talk about the most...
The rest.
the whole thing.
Screwing up a return of a character. I don't know about you people, but I am totally bored out of my mind with this Brenda storyline, returning Brenda. First of all, I said before that I don't see a reason for Brenda to come back. All the characters have moved on. Sunny had kids with Carly. Carly is like, you know, the woman in his life. I mean, I know Brenda and him had this great love and stuff, but that was back then. It's like, when was the last time that Sunny even mentioned Brenda until now? Now, all of a sudden, Brenda, he's thinking about Brenda all the time, and, like, it's so trite. And then her storyline's so stupid, it makes no sense. This whole, she's not even returned to Port Charles yet. She's, like, in Europe still. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then they got all these, like, named celebrities coming on. Adrian Barbeau, Bruce Davison, Brad Rowe. I'm like, this is that part of General Hospital I don't like. What I will say that I'm liking right now, classic soap opera, this Lisa Niles character who slept with Robin's husband and is now stalking him and Robin, fabulous, great storyline. Kimberly McCullough was fabulous when she told her husband off. He cheated on her. Oh, they look so cute. They got so bad. I haven't seen them in so
giant.
Long.
My kid's a giant. Go ahead.
All right. I'm loving this. You know what this biatch did this Friday?
What?
She's been stalking Robin. So now she's turned the tables on them because Robin has like everybody was figuring out that she was like stalking Robin. So she went ahead to Lucky and she filed a complaint that somebody's stalking her. And so what she did was she listened to Patrick on the phone saying that Robin was going to meet him somewhere. So she knew Robin was coming in the car. When Robin was coming out with the car, she jumped in front of the car and got hit by the car. So she could say that Robin...
Didn't Erica claim that someone did that?
I don't know.
Remember Erica claimed that... Oh, I know. It was Frankie. She claimed that Frankie jumped in front of her car to get hit.
Erica
Kane, yeah. She never trusted Frankie. And then Frankie became fast friends with Bianca. Remember? You don't remember?
You're saying Frankie. I'm thinking Jesse and Angie's Frankie.
Oh, no.
Like, when the hell did Erica have a storyline with black people?
Oh, my God.
Oh, what's his name? Them Peebles.
Oh, I love Them Peebles.
All right. So I'm loving that storyline. But overall, I'm like, you know, I don't understand, you know, I don't understand the whole big woo-vah about Vanessa Marcel. I will say this. I like her. I found that she's half Latin.
Oh, yeah.
Her dad's Mexican. Her real name is Vanessa Ortiz.
Really?
I don't blame her for changing. I don't like Marcel's, her mother's maiden name. Her mother's like some European mix. But I love that. That's not lame. Girl, would you use your name as an actress if your last name was Ortiz? That's a hideous last name. Look, I love me my Latin people. We have some beautiful last names. Santiago.
Because you know why? Because she's very beautiful. That's why. It doesn't fit her. Doesn't
yeah, Ortiz.
Her.
Ortiz doesn't. Ooh, I hate that last
You know how many Vanessa Ortizes there are? About 22,762.
One of my best friends.
Is Vanessa Ortiz. That's what I'm saying. She's right. You're absolutely right. I agree with you.
Girl, that's not one of my favorite lines. So that's my feeling about General Hospital right now. What did you think about Mad Men? Everybody's like debating about Mad Men and what happened with little Sally Draper playing with herself.
Well, first of all, I adore the child that plays that little girl. Adore her, don't you?
Oh, no, I think she's a great little actress. Just and like you said before, it's one of the most interesting characters in the show.
One of the most interesting characters on the show. And you just feel for how brutal her mother is. Her mother slapped the crap out of her.
Yeah.
Was it last show or the show before, something like that?
And I told you, I'm beginning to hate her.
She's
like to the point that I wouldn't mind if like something happens to her and she dies off the show.
Did you hear her? I didn't ask you this. Did you hear her say that she wanted to kill Don? I hate him so much. I want to kill him.
She's losing it.
Time out. What? Her delivery on that. This is it. I hate Don so much. I want to kill him.
Look, we already know that you don't like the actress. What I'm saying is,
Sally Draper is one of
the
most compelling actors and characters. Excuse me, on television. And I think that what I think is going to happen is I think that this child psychiatrist is actually very compassionate, and I think she's going to be compassionate.
No, but a lot of people are debating the fact that the writer is even wrote that. Some of them think this it was really disgusting, and some people are saying that it's art and that it's life, and so I'm just asking, where do you
the fall reason in the... I think it's absolutely appropriate, and the reason is because this is a time that she has a mother who is so freaking has this code, this rule book, this rigid set of rules of how you behave, and this society has a rigid set of rules of how women behave. They're not allowed to be human beings at times. Mm-hmm. Her own mother had a whole thing with psychotherapy and her hands were numb because she was like a little caged bird, and now it's like she's embracing this and passing down this prison to her daughter. So I think it's completely appropriate that her mother,
who is, you know, in her having sex and being sexual, having the sexual reawakening of her own, is absolutely squashing it for her daughter. I think there's a lot of different places you could go with this, and that makes a lot of sense. I think it's very complicated, complex. Yeah, I don't think there's anything disgusting about a kid touching themselves. They all freaking do it.
I mean, I, you know, my only thing was, like, I did wonder for a minute, like, how do you explain this to this little child actress? Like,
I understand, I mean, I know
that sometimes parents pull their kids out of projects because of that. That I will admit in my mind that thought flashed, but I never felt so like
the way some of these people were, like, did that. That was horrible. Not Borat. What's his name? The actor that played Borat in the gay movie.
Oh, I don't like him. I don't watch that.
What was his name again? Sacha Baron Cohen when he was the gay guy. What's his name again?
I don't know. I don't watch.
Had a scene where he was casting this horrific fake film that he financed. It was like the kid was gonna play like the baby Jesus on the crucifix, and he was gonna be like walking a dog or something, like, so obscene. Mm-hmm. It was like the height of obscenity. Mm-hmm. And the parents came in with their kids, and he was like, so you wouldn't be afraid, you wouldn't have a problem, like, if your kid was, like, you know, totally, like, performing oral sex on baby Jesus? I mean, it was like, it wasn't that, but it was like that offensive. Right. And it was so sad because a lot of the parents, like, nope, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I mean, there was, like, hardly any parents that got uncomfortable or offended by it. And so, yes, I see what you're saying. And I do. My mother asked me that question, I think, about, because there was some cursing in some show or something, like, you know, like Monster, where the movie Monster, where Halle Berry had to kick, really, like, be so brutal to that little boy. I mean, I'm going to cry thinking about it. Like, I think you're right about that. But darn, I wonder if the actress isn't a little bit older, maybe she's 12, 13 years old.
Maybe.
They didn't show her doing it, people. Like, they didn't show.
It just, you know.
Then they made her out to be a perv because they made it sound, the little girl was, like, in the dark and she might have touched herself or something. It wasn't, like, anything extreme. Her friend was asleep.
Yeah.
It was completely dark in the room. And the mother made it sound like it was in front of the friend. Yeah, like, it was completely perverted. Like,
how the story is getting exaggerated.
It
from
was
person
horrible.
To person.
It was horrible. But I think it's really, I don't know. I'm all right.
I was like,
with
by the
it,
time she gets to this child psychologist, they're going to say, oh, she was dry humping her. It was like, it just kept getting more and more worse than it really was.
It's not gratuitous. So that's the thing I'm trying to say.
I don't think it's gratuitous. I think it's really challenging.
For me, it was the really time period.
You know, and
showing the contrast. This mother, this monster mother. This mother is a monster right now. She's a monster to her daughter.
Look, we all agree that Don Draper is not the best human being in the world, especially the way he treats the secretary. That storyline was funny.
I loved it.
But I got to tell you, you know who
my favorite
character
was? The one he slept
with? Yeah, that was all
fantastic.
Intense. But I got to tell you, you know my
she was one of my favorite actresses, too, so far.
Yeah.
I love the secretary, the one that played the secretary.
I got to say, though, my favorite character, hands down, is still Miss Joan. I live.
Oh, she's nominated for an Emmy.
Oh, my God, the Emmys are tomorrow. I can't wait.
She was nominated, and so was Elizabeth, what's her name?
Yes. I cannot wait for the Emmys tomorrow. For those of you who don't know, the Emmys are tomorrow night, and I cannot wait. I'm going to be in front of my TV watching it, like, ugh.
Did you want to talk about One Life to Live? I don't have much time.
Okay, yeah. Real quick about One Life to Live.
Sorry I talked so long about Mad Men. And I hope I didn't offend anybody. I'm not, you know,
for
child,
those of you who don't
know being
embarrassed. Brandon Buddy really is leaving the show.
Fine.
I'm not amused about it. I don't like it.
I'm okay with it.
I was telling Ashley this.
You have good points about it. Great points about it.
I was telling Ashley this yesterday about the fact that I was trying to figure out why the new characters are not gelling with me. And I told her part of the problem is that they're being rammed down our throat at such a high speed. And what was so beautiful in the past when One Life to Live introduced all these new people was they brought them in slowly, subtly. They allowed us to get to know them first. I mean, I remember how we were introduced with Skylar and through Star as a teacher. And we were introduced through Kyle just being, you know, around town. And then we found that all these people had connections. And with the way they've handled the introduction of the Ford brothers, that's not the way it's been. It's like we've been forced to like them. Like, they threw James and Star down our throats for like 3 to 4 weeks on the run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look, the guy who plays Ford, the older Ford, he's not a bad actor. He is a decent looking guy. I mean, he's good looking. Obviously, he's eye candy, whatever. But for me, that's not enough for me to like you, man, as an actor. You got to really, you know, bring it home. And he tries. He really does. But at times, somebody mentioned this and I'm beginning to see it. He does act with his eyes at times. And he reminds me when he does that? Melissa Archer, Snatchley. And you know how I hate her. You know how I hate when one eye gets bigger than the other. And he does that. It's like he feels that in order to get his point across, he has to emote through his eyes. So he'll do this whole big wide eye thing to say, oh my God, I'm upset. Or, oh my God, I can't believe that's happening. And that doesn't translate well for me. I don't buy that as an actor. So, you know, the guy who plays Middle Ford, he's grown on me. He's not as bad as I thought he was going to be. He has his moments. I do think that it's cute the way he flirts with Star, but I believe the Star belongs with Cole. They're star-crossed lovers.
But you made a great point about...
No, yeah, they're star-crossed lovers, like Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, it's never going to work.
The families and why and all that.
And the reason that it's always going to be complicated, and it's good writing. See, this is why I was able to buy James and Star for a minute, because it was good writing when James told Star, and I'm butchering it again, but he said something to the effect like, you know, I don't see you happy when you're with Cole. You say that you're in love and you're with him, but you're not happy. And it's true. She isn't happy with Cole. You know why? Because everything is always going to come back to the fact that her father raped his mother, no matter what. Yep, that's always going to be there.
Absolutely.
What happened when Cole thought that Todd pushed Martin in there, he beat the shit out of Todd, that's always going to happen, girl.
Yep.
That's your life. You know why? Because your dad raped his mom. You know, it comes down to that. So this is always going to be there. There's no way of them avoiding the tensions that run between their family. But that's what makes them a star-crossed couple. You see? So I'm not amused that Brandon Buddy's leaving. I also love the fact that Sean was on this week. I love the fact that Vivian was on this week. And I loved when Sean and Vivian were talking. And as far as I'm concerned, I want to know why Sean isn't on contract and why we're not seeing him and Vivian being all romantic. That's what I want to see. I want to see them over G-Rex.
What about the new cop in town?
Again, that's a brilliant writing choice. We found out this week that the new cop in town, well, he's been off and on for a little, like about a month or so, that they've slowly introduced. But see, this is the way you introduce a character. Now we found out he's the older brother of Destiny's boyfriend, Darren.
Love it.
And
love
we also
it.
Found out that Darren's rich. Which, again, it never dawned on me, but I was telling Ashley, it didn't dawn on me before that Darren has money, obviously, because he's been hanging out at the country club with Matthew. It's like, so obviously his family comes from money. And it's great because the older brother has chosen not to, like, be a rich, spoiled person. He decided to be a cop. And they had these great scenes. And on Friday's episode, that's what I enjoyed the most. I love the scenes between Darren and his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know why these characters aren't on contract and why I can't see more of them and less of Snatchley and G-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, this was the first week in a long time that One Line to Live felt like old One Line to Live. It seemed like they knew where they were heading. They knew where they were going. Billy Warlock, love you as an actor. You're doing the best you can as Ross. But it's so jarring because physically you're not Ross. You're acting-wise, you're brilliant. But physically,
I didn't even know they brought this person.
Yeah, Michael Lowry is a lawyer now. He's in law school. Did you hear that?
He's so talented.
He has a great ass, too. Oh, my God. Michael Lowry has the best ass. I could just want to bite it. He's in law school, so he couldn't come back as Ross. So they got Billy Warlock, who, for those of you who don't know, has been in like a million soaps. And again, great actor. But I look at him opposite, what's his name? Elijah doesn't work for me. They don't look like brothers.
Elijah and Ross, Michael Lowry, Ross were so good together.
Yeah, they were so good together. Mm. And you bought them as brothers. The big storyline that worked for me that I got to give Ron C. props, that's the way you exit a character. The whole David being written out of the show, that was a brilliant storyline. Robin Strasser played the hell out of it. What's his name? Who plays David Vickers gave some of the best work. I mean, he was so brilliant because for moments he wasn't playing the buffoon.
Mm-hmm.
When he realized the situation he was in, he got serious, and I felt so sorry for David.
Mm-hmm.
That's acting.
Yeah.
When you can feel for a character, that's acting. And the fact that, and I knew this, guys, I knew for weeks who was responsible. I thought the way they revealed it was brilliant. I thought Jerry Redorn as Clint was brilliant. I thought the whole episode that dealt with Clint dealing with David and those scenes were brilliant. And when David told him, even Asa wouldn't have done anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Redorn looked at him and said, well, you know what? I am my father's son. Mm. And I think that this has been the best thing, is making Clint take over Ace's role.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we all know that Tuck Watkins will eventually come back. The reason he's gone now is because he's finally on contract. Good luck with Desperate Housewives.
Oh, I love him.
But Desperate Housewives has maybe like a year or two more to go before they cancel that. So,
yeah, so he's going to
be coming back. Like, and they're both on ABC, so it's so easy for ABC to allow him to come back to shoot a couple episodes of One Night to Live. But what I was telling Ashley was, when the truth comes out, because as much as Bo fights the whole thing, that's still his son. When he finds out what Clint did to his son, ooh, there's going to be hell to pay. Mm. There's going to be hell to pay. Yeah. But it was just brilliant. It was just a brilliant exit. So there's still some life for One Night to Live. I'm looking forward to Kim Zimmer. I think, unlike the way they brought Kelly back, they're not bringing
that's
Kim
a hot
Zimmer.
Mess. No? Not,
that is a very big hot mess. We won't even get into that. But Kim Zimmer's character has history in the show.
Yeah.
It's going to give the veterans somebody to work with.
Is Kelly a cop along with Natalie?
What the hell is... The fact that Snatchley all of a sudden thinks she's Mark Helgenberger from CSI is annoying to me. I hate her.
What's the whole pregnancy thing going on? What's going on with that?
Oh, I can't.
You can't, right? It's horrible.
You know what it is? You know why it's horrible for me? Because I don't like her.
I know.
And the fact that now I have to watch her, because I used to fast forward her.
I agree.
I have to suffer through her, because if I don't suffer through her, I miss my Mark Lawson. And you know how I need my Mark. Oh, he became my friend on Facebook.
Really? Oh, that's great.
I know you're straight, but I still would have your babies. I love you.
That's great.
I mean, you know, whatever. I'm never going to like Snatchley. I wonder what's going to happen to Susan Haskell now as Marty, honestly.
That's a good question.
Her son's going. I mean, this is the first time we've seen Marty in like 3 months, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And it was such a horrible way to bring her back. She finds out who pushes her down the stairs. In the same moment, she finds out that Natalie's pregnant with John's kid.
Oy.
That was very uncomfortable stuff.
Oy.
Very, very uncomfortable stuff. I mean, I don't know how you even begin to play that, because it's like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
Yeah.
I was disgusted by it. And as far as Kelly goes, you know, Gina's a great actress, but even she can't save this. I mean, this is one of the hottest messes I've seen in a long time. I mean, you are treating this actress so wrong. Mm. So wrong. Mm. And now, did you hear the latest?
No, what?
Supposedly, Gigi's going back to college, so she's going to be involved with Christian and fall in love with Christian.
Mm.
And Rex, which I knew they were pushing, they're pushing Rex with Kelly. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you why that's disgusting. He was married to her cousin. That's the first problem that I have with it.
Who's her cousin again?
Adriana.
Right.
Dorian's daughter.
Okay, right.
Second of all, they don't have no chemistry.
Zero.
Third of all...
How far apart are they in age, would you say?
Couple of years.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
At least 10?
Yeah. Then, also, my other problem, I actually would rather have her with a black cop. When they came across each other in the steam room, I saw a little something. And Miss Gina was always with Remy on Guiding Light, the black cop there. And I always thought they had some chemistry. So I wouldn't mind some jungle fever for Gina.
All right.
I mean, ABC won't go there, because ABC just does not believe in mixing the races unless it's with a Latin.
That's right. I was going to say, Puerto Rican, Latin,
then you...
But Blair ABC, can't.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Woo!
ABC feels like Latins you can mix with whites and blacks, but you can't mix whites and blacks together.
Absolutely.
What you so scared about, ABC?
It's crazy.
What you think is going to happen if you put a white woman with a black man? That all of a sudden every white woman's going to want a black man? You know who said that? You know who said that? Of Blair Underwood. Because back in the day, when they were putting him with a white woman on Law and Order, there was such a hoo-ha. And they wouldn't show them having love scenes the way they would show the other characters having love scenes.
That's funny.
And Blair Underwood said that in an interview. And I thought that was fabulous. It's like, what do you think? That all the white women are going to start getting ideas?
That's probably why.
That cracks me up, girl.
Listen.
Oh, what?
You want to close this out today? You know how to do it.
What?
If you want to write us. You got anything else?
No, I got... We should start doing it like Donnie and Marie.
Really?
May tomorrow
be
a perfect day. May you find love and laughter along the way. May God keep you in his tender care till he brings us together again.
Oh my God.
Good night, everybody. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I used to love me some Donnie and Marie.
I watch that every night. I swear to God, every time it was on.
And just show that. You remember, you have to remember, I'm a little bit country.
I know that.
I'm a little bit rock and roll. I'm a little bit Cincinnati. With a little bit of hometown in my soul. Don't know if it's good or bad, but I know I love it so. Oh my God. I love me some 70s. You know what? That's why I love dealing with everybody on Facebook. We've been posting old songs, clips for old songs and TV shows. You guys, you don't know, you guys have got me through a really dark summer. For those of you who don't know, I had a little bit of a scare. I'm going to be honest with everybody.
He did.
Let's just say that Lauren Lilly's new show and what Teo was going through, One Night to Live, was exactly what I was dealing with.
He had a little cancer scare.
But a little cancer scare, but everything's fine. I can honestly report after waiting because I don't have
the best
health coverage.
No, nothing like
no
that.
Cancer. After the health coverage that I had, it took almost the entire summer. It ruined my whole summer because I had this black cloud. That's why I haven't been posting on the blog or really dealing with Facebook. But now everything's copacetic. But I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You guys helped me get through the summer and what I was dealing with. Being able to just laugh with you guys on Facebook, to post songs, to do the fact that you all share all. I mean, we have not just soaps in common, but we like, some of us like the same songs, same TV shows. You guys have literally become family and friends to me, and I adore all of you. And I just want you to know that from the bottom of my heart.
I'm going to tell you something,
too. And I'm going to start crying.
Going to start crying. And he misses you so much. He calls me, like, every other day trying to get together to do a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, we're hopefully, once the twins are a little bit older, hopefully it'll be easier for us to do a podcast every week again. We do love you guys and we do miss it. Bear with us. They're getting bigger.
I'm a little nervous, I have to say.
Why? About what?
Because I think, I'm not so excited about soaps right now. That's my problem. I wish I was more excited. There was a really golden age for us here at the podcast, and now it's kind of like
The soaps are, honey, look at it this way. Starting at the end of next month, CBS will have an hour and a half of soaps. Days of Our Lives will have 1 hour. NBC will have 1 hour of soap. ABC will only have 3 hours of soap.
Any word on One Life to Live?
No official word yet. I mean, everybody's been claiming that One Life to Live is on the acting block. I don't know how true that is. But I will say this, it's a sad day. It's a really sad day because, again, we've said it before, there is nothing like daytime programming. There's nothing like the daytime format. It is brilliant. It can do so much. It can educate. It can enlighten. It can make you laugh. It can make you cry. They can teach you. These characters become like family. I'll say it right now. Best soap on the air right now is Ryan's Hope. Ryan's Hope finally came back after three weeks of having to watch Brenda reruns. Not that I was watching them, but they brought Ryan's Hope back. Unfortunately, as Bronx Gal informed me, as of October 1st, SoapNet won't be showing them. But at least I'm hoping that in this 1 month and 2 weeks, that they at least get to the end of this brilliant storyline that's going on. Because that's why I was upset. It's like, it's one thing to cut it, but don't cut it in the middle of this incredible storyline. And as I'm watching Ryan's Hope this week, I'm realizing why soaps in general are not as good as they used to be. And all writers should be watching Ryan's Hope to learn how to write. Because Claire Levine wrote an incredible soap with incredible characters that, yes, sometimes the acting was a little hokey and stiff because it was the late 70s and early 80s. Sometimes the sets were not, you know, as glamorous.
Yeah.
But, or the way they shot stuff, they were limited. But the thing was, between the writing and the heart that these actors have, when you watch this show, it's like watching theater play out. One of the things I was telling Ashley about, as much as I love Francine, is that he's writing for people with attention deficit disorder, which is what our society is right now. We can only handle so much information at in such a short time. But back in the days, a whole scene would be like that whole segment before they went for commercial. So when I'm watching Ryan's Hope, I'm seeing a whole scene play out, and it's like being in watching a play out.
Yeah.
It's like theater.
Yeah.
And these actors don't have the luxury of taking moments, like the way One Night to Live will stop. The two characters will say three lines of dialogue, then it'll break to something else, and then it'll come back. These actors have to play the entire scene out. Like everything, you know?
Yeah.
And it's brilliant writing, brilliant work. And the thing that got to me this week was Johnny and Maeve were on. And I realized that one of the things that's so missing on the soaps is those veteran characters. They don't realize how that is the heart and the soul. And this big storyline is going on with Jack right now. And you're seeing how it affects the entire Ryan clan. Mm-hmm. And now, for the first time, Johnny and Maeve are at odds because Maeve is not on Jack's side, but she's trying to be there because she's understanding. And Johnny, of course, has always had problems with Jack. Mm-hmm. So they're like, and to see these characters that have been in love, that have raised this family for 35 years, to let this come between them. Mm-hmm. And the scenes were so brilliantly written, and with those accents, it means like, let me tell you something, John. I don't want to be hearing stuff like that about Jack.
Let me tell you something, Johnny.
Yes. And I was crying. I was crying. And the other day, they finally made up, and they're in bed, and he's like, I don't want to ever be without you, Maeve. He goes, you're my best friend.
I don't want to ever be without you, Maeve.
He goes, to be lying here.
You're my best friend.
To be lying here in bed with you, but not be with you. And it was such... Look.
You have goosebumps.
I have goosebumps. I was crying.
He's crying right now.
My heart was breaking. I was like, I don't want this show to go off the air. I want it to just keep playing. I would watch the whole 13 years over and over again. That's how good it is. I mean, I was just riveted by all of this. It is so... complex. These characters are complex, and the thing that I love about it too is that the families are real. They don't all get along,
right?
They don't all get along. That's the one thing that I wish, like, at One Night to Live, it's like everybody likes each other. Like, that's ridiculous. Why can't Clint not like John for Natalie? You know what I mean? Everybody's so... I love that interaction on Ryan's Hope, that these characters, they're like real people. It's like, yeah, I like you, I love you because you're my friend, but I don't like you a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like, there's such an intense relationship between the character of Bob Reed and Frank Ryan. They're best friends, but, like, there was this great scene where Bob's like, you know, I know you're my friend and everything, but the way you treat women, it just... it's real. Claire Levine's writing is so real. And that's what was so brilliant about her run on One Life to Live.
Yeah.
As much as I love Ron C, to me, One Life to Live, Claire Levine...
He was under her, right?
Yeah, she hired him for the job. But her writing was the best writing.
Okay.
Anyway, I just... Thank you for letting me share that.
But it's powerful, powerful stuff.
Love you guys.
No, we love you, Jordan Hudson. Your depth and breadth of knowledge is truly astounding. And what I love about you is your heart. You have the biggest, most beautiful heart. And you share much of yourself every time you do this podcast. Sometimes you share a little too much. I'll be honest with you. But I love you to death, and I thank you for being my friend and being part of this show.
You got five, bitch. I love that. That was a good one.
He's crying.
She cracks me up. She's such a crazy guy.
I am. Listen, people, if you want to write us, email us pvp@pievalleypodcast.com. What?
That was good.
Oh, or you can go to our blog page. Go to us at www.pievalleypodcast.com. You should also go visit our friends at daytimeconfidential.com. You should visit Nelson Bronco.
Even though I don't agree with him.
Even though we don't always agree with him. He's got some good information on Suds Report. Suds Report.
And Sub Guys.
And Super Poster. A Super Poster of the Year. It is www.myspace.com/Super Poster of the Year. Or you can go to his Facebook page, which is Van Friggin Tastic. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Shadow, as always. He is just astounding and amazing. He's always there for us when we can't be there.
Lewis with our openings.
And he's got so much crap going on. His beautiful family. And he still manages to really
get on the blog.
And support us and give his feedback. He's fantastic. Yes, Luis. He has done all of our intros, and he's fantastic. Anybody else we missed? Oh, we love soaps.net. Gotta go there.
Oh, my God.
Gotta go there. Anyone else?
Nope.
I think that's it. We love you all very much. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
How do you like my quarterback uniform, huh? It's pretty good.
You'll be lucky if you get a nickel back.
You had to put your 2 cents in there, didn't you?
Oh, God, thank you.
Okay, but first of all, we'd like to thank our guests, Jerry Lewis, Ruth Buzzy, Jimmy, and our 4 other Osmond brothers.
I, Spanides, the characters from the world of Sid and Marty Croft, and our special guest star, Jim Neighbors.
But most of all, we'd like to thank you for sharing this hour with us. May tomorrow be a perfect day. May God keep you in His tender care
till He brings us together again.
Good night, everybody.